coming to you from the U.S. and streaming all over the world. This is Shotgun Sports USA. Get accurate, reliable information in every single episode with interviews from the best shooters in the game, the best gun clubs across the globe, and industry-leading companies that revolutionize the sport. Be sure to check us out on social media and online at ShotgunSportsUSA.com. Shotgun Sports USA is powered by Winchester Ammunition, the American legend, and brought to you by Cole Gunsmithing, Castellani USA, Chromatic Traps, Clay Target Vision, Sound Gear Phantom, and Clay Shooter Supply. Welcome to the show.
We are about to try something a little different. I want to give you a different perspective in the sport. I want to let a few shooters that have won tournaments around the country and the world talk to other shooters that have done the same thing and ask questions that they may have. Sure, they can call each other and talk, but they've never been recorded on a platform like this until now. I'm turning it over to Tom C. for the first ever podcast takeover.
This is Tom C. here with the Shotgun Sports USA. We're going to change a few things up this week and see how this goes. We might do a few more like this, but Justin and I got together about changing things up and having me talk to a few people. And I've got a few different questions. I think it might be interesting to see some different perspectives on maybe just different questions. And we'll see how it goes. But the first person I'm going to talk to is Joe Finese. How you doing, Joe?
Thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm super excited to be on this podcast takeover with you all tonight. And I think we're going to talk about a lot of great stuff. I can't wait. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Joe is a real interesting person for me. I can remember seeing Joe when I was young and he was really young. How old are you, Joe?
I'm 19 now.
Okay. I'm 24, so I can remember seeing Joe around. I was still sub junior when I remember seeing him for the first time, and he was always going around with Mr. Pete Hendrick, and I was good friends with some of his friends, and so it was always fun to see Joe, and he's definitely grown up in the sport for sure. But I've always, as Joe's grown up, I've always seen him around at all the different tournaments, and I knew that his family was involved with Quail Creek, and he grew up. He had a really nice setup where he could go and practice at home. And Joe and I feel like shared some similarities as we grew up in the sport. We both started at a really young age. We both started taking lessons. We both had a really good place to practice. So I really wanted this podcast to ask Joe some questions that I could relate to a little bit. But, you know, explain to us about, you know, kind of growing up at Quail Creek and you know, some of the people that you would shoot with and starting from a young age, Joe.
Absolutely. So my parents, Fred and Maria Finese, were a big part of getting Quail Creek started back in the late 1990s and early 2000s, and, you know, helped build that beautiful facility, and were there for, you know, since the very beginning. And I was fortunate enough to grow up there and be amongst the sport and be exposed to it at a very young age. I would say one of the biggest blessings that I ever received clay shooting wise is nobody in my family, especially both my parents and, you know, some of my closest friends and mentors, nobody, you know, ever forced clay shooting upon me. It was, you know, something that I always had an opportunity to pursue because it was, basically right there in my backyard and something that I had a great chance to do, but it was never forced upon me to where, you know, Joe, this is what you're going to do. This is going to be your sport. This is what, you know, we're going to train you to be as a clay target shooter. It was something that I wanted to do, something that I found a passion for, and I was able to, you know, do it for many years growing up, and still now at 19 years old, I'm doing it, and I hope to do it for a long time. But, you know, growing up at Quail Creek was a very special experience. Just from a little kid running around the sporting clays course, you know, picking up shells and throwing them in the bucket, to, you know, breaking my first target at the 5 stand at Quail Creek when I was, you know, I think I was 3 or 4 years old, you know, and just being around it, I was able to be exposed to a lot of good coaches, a lot of mentors, a lot of people that took me under their wing and kind of showed me the ropes. And just being around it, even though I might have not been shooting all the time, growing up in that atmosphere, and being around those people to teach me the proper way, teach me the etiquette, hear stories about places they've been able to travel and things they've been able to do and the people they've been able to meet in the shooting world, always fascinated me. And when I got a little older, I realized, man, I have a great opportunity to be good at this. And I chased it. And with the support of a lot of great people, was able to, you know, find some success with it. So it's definitely a blessing. I'll admit that I had a luxury that a lot of people don't have. And it was, you know, having the chance to go shoot, you know, almost whenever I wanted, because I grew up so close to the sporting clays course there. But it's something I'm very grateful for, something I took advantage of, and, you know, I worked very hard for it, and I'm just really blessed. I can't name everybody by name, but from a young age, I was definitely very lucky to be there at Quail Creek, and it definitely molded me and shaped me into the shooter, but more importantly, the person that I am today.
You know, you hit on a big point there that I really hadn't thought of covering, but it is one of the major points, I think, in any young shooter, and the fact that you said no one forced you to become a shooter. You know, your parents didn't want it more than you did. Somebody else didn't want it any more than you did. And I think that, you know, you have a, if I watch you shoot, I could see it, you know, when you were younger and speaking to other people about you when you were younger, you have a determination about you, about your demeanor and how you pursue the sport that is obvious. It's obvious that you love the competition. It's obvious that you love the game, but not, you love it in a deeper way. And what I mean by that is you demand perfection of yourself. And it's, I think that you have to have that component within you to be really, you know, to go to the next level. But that was a big point that you made mention of. And, you know, I was the same way. My parents never pushed me. They provided me with a lot of opportunity. They provided me with a place to practice, provided me with all the shells I needed, all the coaching I needed. But they left it up to me on whether or not I wanted it or not. Because once I got older, I mean, there were obviously other things that could have deterred me from shooting. But,
absolutely,
you know, I wanted to fight through that, and I just wanted it. And I know we'll get into more of that here in just a little bit. But I really wanted to say that was a huge point that you said there. And not many people focus on that much.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you definitely have to have a passion for it, and whether it's, you know, whatever field of work you go into or whatever your sport may be or whatever it is in general, you can have, you know, all the access to whatever type of equipment, opportunity, exposure to instruction, funding. It doesn't matter what it is. You could have all the things necessary to be successful, but if you don't have the want and the passion and the drive and the willingness to work hard about it, to learn as much as you can about it, and to make sacrifices for it, unfortunately, that's the foundation of what you need. I mean, you have to start with that. And if you don't have that, you're basically trying to drive a car with no gas. And, you know, that just doesn't work too well. I played sports, you know, in middle school and loved playing sports. I loved, you know, playing Pop Warner football and basketball and, you know, being active as much as I could and all of that. And then, you know, once I got a little older, I realized, you know, if I really want to get good at this and take this to the next level, I'm going to have to stop doing that and focus on one thing. And even though that was really tough and it was a monumental decision that I had to make at a period of time in my childhood, it ended up paying off. And you have to be willing to make sacrifices to be able to allocate more time towards something that you love and you're passionate about and something that you're willing to have a desire to get better at. And, you know, it's hard to do everything in life and be phenomenal at it. You can be good at a lot of things, but in order to be, you know, above and beyond at something, you have to make sacrifices for it. And I was willing to do that. And obviously you were, and a lot of other people were. So it's just something you have to keep in mind. But yeah, I mean, I was definitely very blessed to grow up at Quail Creek and, you know, took advantage of that opportunity. And I'm so appreciative of the people I was able to meet, the experiences I was able to have. And it's something that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
As you talk about growing up at Quail Creek, you know, you faced it and I faced it, a little bit, but, you know, I kind of grew up being able to practice at my house. My dad and I shot a lot together. I would come home from school, uncover all the machines, and we would go out and shoot. And it was very nice. I mean, we had a nice setup, which was really private, and I could, you know, practice whatever I needed to. But you know, you grew up at Quail Creek, and obviously one of the busiest clubs in the country. And, you know, there's a lot of people there that, as you started shooting, a lot of people that you shot with, a lot of friends, a lot of mentors, a lot of people you grew up with and respected, I know. And, you know, as you grew in the sport, explain kind of practicing at a club and how you were able to get the most out of your practice sessions being at a club. Because I know you like to shoot a lot alone. So just, you know, kind of tell me how your practice routine is from a club standpoint. Because mine was pretty simple. I mean, it was pretty private. You know, I could come work on whatever I needed to at any time kind of by myself. But you tell me a little bit about how that worked at the club.
Absolutely. So, you know, just over the years, you know, kind of through some trial and error, I figured out pretty early on that I was able to get my most effective practices actually by myself. And, you know, if you have a good delay system, you know, and a good program to be able to throw targets on delay and you can be there by yourself, I found that to be the best situation for me. Now, a lot of people are different. I'm not saying that I don't shoot with certain people on occasion. There's definitely some people that I enjoy practicing with and can have some great practices, you know, with them, and we can help each other and go along. But I found that not only practicing by myself was great for, you know, being in the station and working on what I needed to work on, but it also helped me stay focused, because it's so easy to get distracted when you're going out to shoot with your buddies. And unfortunately, that was something that was very tough at Quail Creek that a lot of people probably don't think about me growing up to shoot there and practice. But a lot of times, you know, I was so fortunate to know so many people and to be raised up there to where I fostered so many great relationships that I could go, you know, almost station to station and, you know, recognize familiar faces, see people, you know, be able to talk to people. You know, they would, you know, come up and want to talk and say hi and ask if they could shoot a couple stations with me, or, you know, ask if they could ride along with me, or, you know, ask me if I wanted to come check out their new gun. And while, you know, that was always great, and I love doing that, next thing you know, you might be in the middle of the practice focusing really hard, getting ready for, you know, an upcoming event, or, you know, just trying to work on your game in general. And next thing you know, 45 minutes has gone by because you're catching up with an old friend you passed by on the course. So I was blessed enough to have the luxury of, you know, being able to go and shoot after hours, which was a blessing. And, you know, let's say sunset was around 7:30 Florida time, and Quail Creek was closed around 5:00. I was able to, you know, sneak in and go with my practice card and take a golf cart and be able to go out on the course and, you know, practice alone there. And that, you know, kind of gave me a great opportunity to not be as distracted, to be able to focus on what I needed to work on, and be able to maximize my efforts and get the most out of my practice and be efficient with it. Like I said, I enjoyed seeing everybody. I enjoyed being around everybody, but it really is a social driven sport. And a lot of people get into this game, you know, to have good times and make memories and laugh and cut up and, you know, get away from work. And I totally get that. And I think that's a huge part of the sport. But when you're really trying to go out and work hard and improve your game and practice, It gets difficult sometimes, you know, being distracted. So that's kind of the approach that I would take. And I was able to practice quite a bit alone and even after hours where I might've been the only person on the course. And I did that for a large period of time, you know, growing up there at Quail Creek. And like I said earlier, it's not saying that I wouldn't practice, you know, when people were there. And it was just part of it. I enjoyed seeing everybody, but I do personally like practicing on my own. Most of the time that I go out and shoot, I really enjoy that. And I'm able to squeeze out, you know, every last drip of water in the wet dish rag. You know what I mean? I'm just able to get more out of a practice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there were definitely times you got to go out and have fun and shoot and all that. But it was, you know, that was definitely something to manage that you had to manage more so than myself, because I could come home and be a little more private. But you know, you might have had the luxury to go off and have machines set up on your own. And that was something else I was going to ask, is when you would practice, would you go out on the course, or would you set up machines on your own? Would you jump from station to station? Would you walk around the station? Because you know, I don't practice on a course. I've never really been able to get as much out of it, I don't guess. It's just my opinion, as I have been being able to have a group of machines set up and walking around. I'm just curious how you would do that, even alone.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really good question, and it's also a great question for people who shoot at one particular club a lot, and a lot more than they do other places. You know, I had shot so many rounds on both courses at Quail Creek, the red and the blue, while I was living there. You know, I'd shot them in practices and SCTP tournaments and so many different times for fundraiser shoots and whatnot growing up, that I would shoot on the course so much, and I was very familiar with it. So I definitely would get creative to, you know, shoot different presentations and push myself, you know, past my line of comfort, to where, if I was fortunate enough to have someone come trap for me, like a lot of times before shoots, my mom would be kind enough to come trap with me, you know, after work and go out there on the course. And she would, you know, stand in the station, and I would go, you know, 40 yards out to the right of the cage and shoot, and then back up 20 yards and then move left and right. So I think it's important, if you have an opportunity to move around, if you're limited to a course, that's definitely a good thing to try and do. Now, sometimes it's tough if there's a lot of people on a course, you know, you can't get too far out of the station, because sometimes management doesn't like that. But while I was on the course, if I wasn't shooting in the station, or I've already shot those targets a couple times in the station, I would definitely, you know, try to invent something new to give myself some different looks. And, you know, I also would shoot on the feet task layouts, and I was fortunate enough to have a couple of my own traps, you know, set aside that I had a controller for. So, you know, kind of similar to what you would do, you know, you have them set up and you can walk around and shoot a grid format and things like that. And another thing that I shot a lot of growing up was skeet. I practiced a lot of skeet and would, you know, work on my mind game, work on my fundamentals and my technique, different menus, different formats. I would, you know, shoot A, B, B, A, true pair backwards, you know, try to run four pairs of true pairs both ways from 3, 4, and 5. You know, when you shoot so much, it's good to change things up. It's good to do something different and push yourself outside of your comfort zone rather than doing the same thing all the time.
So, you know, this leads into my next question, and the biggest thing I wanted to get into with this podcast is to talk about how things have changed a little bit since you've gone from being in high school, being able to go home each day and practice whenever you wanted to, having very little responsibilities on you, to developing into college, moving to Texas, maybe starting a job. And get into some of that, and we'll develop this conversation more as it goes on. But tell me a little bit about your transition into Texas, how that's affected your practice routine and shooting, and we'll lead into that.
Absolutely, Tom. You know, that's a really good question, and the reason it's such a good question, it was, you know, a big part of the transition process and something that I had to adapt to, you know, living in a new place for the first time. And it was definitely a different situation, and it's a different one that I'm living in right now. But a big part of why I came to the, you know, great state of Texas is, you know, living here in this place, I have the opportunity to get an education, you know, go to a school that I'm very happy to be at, and one that I'm enjoying every second of, but still be able to pursue my passion of clay target shooting. You know, there is a lot of shooting in Texas. I tend to tell people I think it's the heartbeat of clay shooting in the United States. But even though there's a lot of places to shoot, from where I'm located here in College Station, a lot of, you know, those big NSCA clubs are over an hour away. There's one particular club that I love to shoot at. It's my home club, Westside Sporting Grounds in Katy, Texas. I shoot there regularly, you know, but it's an hour and 20 minute drive each way, which was a big change from about a 20 second drive each way that I, you know, was exposed to before growing up in Florida. So I definitely realized that I was going to be exposed to less practice than I was at an earlier period of time in my life. But I was also blessed to be at a period of my career now where I don't think I need as many practice repetitions, but I need to really maximize every effort that I'm making in my practices. And it has been a great experience because it has forced me to learn how to get more out of my practices. And, you know, now I might be practicing 2 days out of a week instead of three or four. But I promise you, both of those practices, I'm practicing hard. I'm taking every single shot serious. And I'm working to do as much as I can to focus on improving a little bit each and every day, trying to get better each and every day. And, you know, after you sit in the car and you drive for an hour and 20 minutes to a place, you know, you just don't want to get out of the truck, fool off, shoot around and goof off for, you know, a couple minutes, then just load back up in the truck and drive back. So, you know, I get a lot of time to think on those long drives, and, you know, I have to make sacrifices from sometimes missing out on fun stuff, or, you know, if I don't want to get up early in the morning and make a drive or stay up late in the evening and make the drive back, you know, I could take the easy way out. But like I said earlier, I have such a passion for this. You have to be willing to make sacrifices for stuff you love and stuff you're, you know, you have a desire to get better at. And, you know, that's what I've had to focus on doing is trying to, you know, to make the most out of my practices because I have, you know, a lower amount of time to be able to do so. I did an internship this summer where I was working full time for a construction company, and that was another wake up call. You know, that was the first glimpse I ever had of, you know, what life is like, you know, for a lot of folks. You know, you're grown up, you're working, and, you know, other people have families and kids. It's probably really hard to be able to go out and practice as much as you want to and shoot as much as you want to. But, you know, I don't think that you have to go out and shoot all the time, all the time, all the time. You know, I think if you can consistently go out, and get, you know, a practice in a week and, you know, have some sort of a formulated scheduled practice on a monthly basis that, you know, okay, I want to go out and get this many shots off in a week's time and go out on the course and expose myself regularly. You know, I think a lot of times people make a mistake of, you know, okay, I want to get 1,000 shots off this month. That's their goal. They say they want to get 1,000 shots off. So let's say it's the month of June. It's the first week of June goes by, they don't pick up their gun. Second week goes by, they haven't picked up their gun. And then the third week comes by and they shoot a case. So they're at 250 rounds. And then the final week of the month comes by and they'll shoot 750. Boom, they meet their goal of 1,000. I don't think that's the right way to do it. And, you know, I've been able to learn that if I can go out and shoot once a week and consistently find one day out of the week to go out for a couple hours and make the most out of it, have a goal, reach that goal, work towards it, you know, focus really hard while you're there, make the most out of your time, you can be completely fine with that and, you know, get your game to a good level and continue getting better, you know, at that. And even though you're not out there practicing, you can still work on your shooting game. You can be driving down the truck or driving down the road in your truck on the way to work and improve your shooting game, you know, by thinking about it, putting yourself in a tournament situation, envisioning success. It's actually been honestly the best thing that could have ever happened to me because I've been able to learn how to do more and make more efforts to make more out of less, you know. And I think my practices now are much better than they were when I was growing up in Florida. And even though it's tough and I have, you know, less amount of time to practice, I feel like I've been able to to make the most out of it and practice really hard and learn a lot.
That's definitely something I've related to. I mean, everybody knows that during the year of 2020, we had COVID. We had a few tournaments get canceled. The year was really messed up. And then I broke my arm. I had to take the next year off, unfortunately. And then through that whole period of time, I kind of went from really, you know, going to school, which was in my hometown, which is really similar to going to high school. Things didn't change that much for me, to transitioning into working for the family business. And that took a lot of time. That really changed some things for me. And so by the time I got back where I could even hold a gun, I really had to kind of relearn how to practice and how to shoot. And I've had a lot of people ask me a very similar question to what I just asked you. And a lot of my answers to that question are very similar to what you just said. You know, I do think it's a big mindset thing. Think that you can make it what you want to make it. I look at it as when I was younger, I can remember specific times when I was shooting every day. I mean, I would shoot several thousand rounds, you know, in a month period. And I would get to the point where I might overanalyze some things, or I would go to a tournament and I'd be, I don't know about wore out, but a little numb to shooting. My moves, they weren't as meaningful to me. You know, each shot wasn't as meaningful to me. And so as I transitioned into a shooter that really had more of a limited time to practice, it made me really focus more on each individual shot, because you know that you're not going to be able to just come back out the very next day is really valuable. But Joe brought up a good point, and something that I learned over the course of this past year or 18 months since I've really gotten back into shooting, is it does not work to shoot a case or two cases one weekend, go all week without shooting, all weekend without shooting, and go basically weeks without shooting, and then thinking, I'm going to shoot a lot and shake back up, knock the rust off, and then I'll go to the tournament the next weekend. You can't do that. It's a lot better. And I did this a lot as a kid. I was really mindful of not shooting too much as a kid, but I don't have to worry about that as much now, mainly because I don't get as many days consecutively to shoot and keep myself in a good practice regimen. But I found the importance in being able to shoot in some type of regimented fashion, whether that be you shoot on Monday and then you shoot again on Thursday, or you shoot, you know, one weekend and then you shoot the next weekend, and then you keep it consistent. You don't go long stretches, and because it's almost like working out, which clearly Joe nor I do, but you know, you can't work out once a month and, you know, see results. And that's very similar to the way shooting is. So that's something I've learned the value of as I've gone through this transition period of coming back from, you know, breaking my arm and being off for COVID and transitioning into a job that I could shoot less at.
You know, Tom, I think you're exactly right. Something for the people that are listening to maybe take note of is even though we definitely recommend trying to find a way to be regimented and have a chance to at least be able to go out and shoot once a week and stay consistent with that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, stuff gets in the way. There might be family things that come up, work might get really tough, you know, whether it's seasonal and things like that, and you might not be able, you know, to meet that consistency level that you want to. I think there's a way to find an upside in some of that, you know, negativity of, oh, I haven't been able to get out and shoot in a really long time. And that's just the sole state of freshness. You know, freshness is being important. And what I mean by that is, you know, let's say you haven't shot in a while, you haven't been around your gun in a while. Even though you're thinking, man, I you know, I haven't been able to keep the rust off, I haven't been able to go out and shoot and practice as much as I want to, because you're away from it, you know, the burnout factor is gone. And you'll have such an eagerness and such an excitement to get back into it, and such an excitement to get back and shoot, that you could turn it almost into an advantage for you. I know there's been times in my life where I've shot so much and practiced so much. By the time I get to the tournament, I'm already wore out and I'm just going through the motions. A funny story for you, and I'm sure Tom can relate to this, because I know he got injured, as a lot of us know, in an accident not too long ago, and he had a long process of coming back. But in December of 2021, I actually broke my hand over Christmas break when I was back home in Florida. You know, was just with some buddies and had, you know, we were just roughhousing a little bit, and I actually broke my hand on, it was December the 19th of 2021. And that was a really bad time for me to break my hand, because there's a couple of big shoots coming up early in the year that, you know, I was really eager to attend and really excited to go to. And I was initially thinking that I might have not been able to go to those tournaments because I had a broken hand, and I was, you know, had a bad fracture on my, you know, the right side of my hand, on some fingers and the lower part of my hand, and was in a splint for up to 6 weeks. And on about the end of the first week of February, I got out of the splint, and around that time was the start of the Jack Lynx Cup, which was a shoot held at Quail Creek, which is the club that I grew up at and moved away from. And, you know, as a lot of you can imagine, that was a shoot that was definitely on my calendar, that was circled in a, you know, big red ink, and one that I was, you know, really excited to attend and really focused on, and one that I was thinking about a lot. And, you know, I was afraid that I wasn't gonna be able to make it because I had a broken hand, and I never really, you know, shared this with many people. I tried to kind of stay in the shadows and keep it low key because I didn't want a whole lot of people knowing, but I had a broken hand. So the whole month of January, I couldn't shoot at all. And then, you know, the first week of February, I was still in that splint, unable to shoot. And, you know, I was getting negative on, you know, my chances of performing at a high level, because I thought, man, you know, my hands hurt, my hands broken, I'm not going to be able to shoot. But in that time, I was so excited to get back and shoot whenever I had the opportunity to get the green light, because I knew I wasn't able to shoot. And now that I had a chance to get back into it, I felt fresh. I wasn't burned out. I was so fired up to get out there and shoot and get on the course and smell the gunpowder and pull the trigger. And I was fortunate enough to get a couple practices in and go in with the good mindset, and was blessed to have been able to find some success at that tournament. And it was definitely a great moment in my career, and something that I look back on, you know, being able to overcome the injury and going right into the tournament shortly after. You know, even though you definitely want to be regimented with your practice and be consistent with it and shoot a lot, that was an example to where you can use a negative and make it a positive. And I was just so excited to get back out there, that even though some, you know, you people that are working all the time and have family issues and have kids and responsibilities, and you can't get out and practice as much as you want to, just know that you have the positive side of being able to go out there fresh, go from a, you know, clean slate, not be burnt out, and a lot of good things can come from that.
Yeah, I think that was something I was going to talk about in this, is handling confidence and mindset, not necessarily coming off a big injury, but coming off of or going through periods where practice may not have taken priority, other things may have had to take priority, bigger responsibilities. But that was something that I'm going to be open and honest with. When I specifically came out of being hurt, that was confidence was a tough thing for me, because I hadn't. But I was extremely excited, but the confidence wasn't there. And it took me a couple of tournaments to get my confidence back. But more specifically, talking about not having as much confidence when you don't feel necessarily prepared for tournaments is something I've felt more recently than I had in the past. But I can honestly think back and remember some of my best performances have come right after periods of time or times leading into a tournament when I did not feel that confident about what I had done in my practice routines. But it really proves that a lot of it is mindset, you know. And one thing you said earlier, I kind of stayed a little quiet about, is some of the most important and valuable thing you can do is to practice, practice mentally without shooting. You know, riding down the road all the time, I think about, you know, being in certain situations, or, you know, I think about, you know, certain presentations I may have struggled with. And whenever I have some free time, that's where my mind tends to wander. So that is something that has really been a big learning curve for me as my shooting has changed a little bit. It is not taking a back seat, I assure you. I think about it more than I do some things I probably shouldn't, but it's definitely a mindset. You gotta handle confidence. But one of the biggest things that Wendell told me right after I got back from my injury is, you know, you haven't forgotten how to shoot. And that's something I constantly remind myself of, is, you know, I haven't forgotten how to shoot. It's just believing that you can go out there and you can do it. I'm not trying to take any importance or stress away that practice is good, because that's been the biggest topic in this podcast, but that's been something for me, is a mindset and confidence, finding that without reassuring, without having been able to shoot hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rounds is valuable. And, you know, there are people, I know you're familiar with it, there are people that, just like the story you just told, Joe, where you didn't practice at all leading up to the Jack Lynx. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say for everybody, I wasn't there. I wasn't there, because if I would have been, I'd have been shooting for second as good as you shot.
Well, thank you, Tom. I really appreciate that, man. It was a special tournament and a great time for my family and I. And I was, you know, just excited to be able to go back to the place I grew up at and the place that made me who I am. And to be able to get the job done for, you know, my family and all the experiences we had there and all the people that helped me grow up in that amazing place. And it was just a really special time and, you know, a thrilling experience. I had a lot of close family and friends there. And it was just really cool to be able to go back, you know, and compete at those grounds since I had left. So it was a blessing.
Yeah. And you were really excited about it. And I'm sure that was a huge contributing factor, is, you know, you were having a lot of fun being there. I mean, you were serious, but, you know, you hadn't had a lot of preparation. I did not know that at all, but you just told that story. But obviously you didn't have a whole lot of preparation. You were real excited about it. You were having fun. And that's something that, if you're a really competitive person, that's hard to let go of and do, is to just have fun. I know you probably know a little bit about that, because I know you're real competitive, but I'm the same. I'm it's hard for me to let go and just have fun. But,
you know, absolutely.
Confidence, just kind of letting go of it.
You know, confidence is a word you hear a lot in clay shooting. And unfortunately for a lot of people, when they talk about it, you can just tell in the ways they talk and the things that they say, that it's something that fluctuates, you know, and, you know, at certain times you'll hear people say, you know, they're feeling really confident. And then, you know, you'll see them a little later, 2 or 3 months later. And, you know, they're saying, oh, I'm not confident right now. I'm not confident in myself, my game, my abilities. You know, at least the way it works for me, and I don't know about you, Tom, but, you know, you don't have confidence in your shooting off of, you know, your most recent result or your practice. You know, you hear people say all the time, you know, oh, I'm on right now. Or, I'm feeling good. I've been pointing the gun well. You know, you have, where you actually have confidence, you know, is in your preparation, your commitment, your program, you know, your desire, your passion, your ability to execute when it matters most. That's where the confidence comes from. And, you know, no matter what, I know that when I step foot on the course, I'm not going to be thinking about how I shot my practice round that morning or how I performed at my last tournament. I'm going to be thinking about all the years of hard work and passion and that I've had that built up, and all the, you know, the sacrifices that have been made. And, you know, all the late nights out there and all the days, you know, you go out and practice in the rain, you know, all those days, that is what builds confidence for me. Cause I think about all that and I think, you know, I've put in the work to be here. I've shot so many tournaments that have helped me gain experience for this moment. And all of that is just building you up to the situation you're in right now, at that particular moment in the present moment in that present tournament. You know, like an example, I've heard people say like, oh, you know, I shot a 97 at the local tournament last weekend, you know, and in the Southeast regionals next weekend, I'm set, you know, I'm feeling good. But I don't think that's something you should rely on because it's hit or miss, you know, it lacks consistency. For example, I've had some practices where, you know, I'll shoot phenomenal and things seem to be going perfect and I'm hardly missing, then go to a tournament and not so much longer after that, you know, a couple days or a week after that and I don't shoot so well. And I've had it work vice versa. And, you know, unfortunately, people try to gauge where they are off of their most recent tournament. And you hear people say, oh, you're only as good as your last shoot. I highly disagree with that statement, you know, and results are what we're on this never ending pursuit for. You know, we're always on the hunt. We're always on the hunt for the result. But unfortunately, the end game that everyone focuses on fogs their vision of the process that actually allows you to achieve them. And I'm going to say that again. Results are what, you know, we're always on the look for, always on the hunt for. We're on this pursuit to win this tournament, to shoot this score, to get this punch, to go into the next class. But that end game always fogs your vision of the process that actually allows you to achieve them. And people tend to make, you know, this game way more complicated than it needs to be. You need to focus on what's going to get you there rather than the end result.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's something I talk about a lot. Is staying present. That's something that I've heard from a young age growing up, taking lessons growing up, staying present. And, you know, I agree. I don't shoot many warm-up rounds before tournaments. I don't shoot, you know, multiple make-a breaks or, you know, multiple practice five stands or anything like that because, you know, at that point, I'm not going to find anything. You know, I'm not going to find anything that's going to change the outcome because honestly, it's just going to make me worry about it more, doubt myself, you know, doubt certain things. I mean, the biggest thing I'm worried about is, you know, having confidence that, you know, I know how to shoot. I know, you know, what I know that I can shoot a good score and just seeing targets. I'm keeping it really simple. I think you're right when people, that's the biggest thing is confidence fluctuates. And people make it more complicated than it is. I know I do. When I don't shoot as well as I'd like, that I think back about it and compare it to the rounds, some of the best rounds I've had. And some of the best rounds I've had, everything seems so simple. You see the bird really clearly. You don't think about how I mount the gun. You don't think about how you feel physically in your move as much. It all comes together. And that is true confidence. And I think that this conversation can get as deep as you'd like it to get, but a lot of people focus on the results and not the process. Like you just said, I've discussed it a lot and I think about it a lot where shooting is almost like an art form, you know, the way I move, when I practice, I'm not worried about as much whether I hit it or miss it. I'm worried more about how I move to the bird and making the right move and seeing the bird clearly. That's the biggest thing is seeing the bird clearly, making the right move to the bird. And that is what I'm really striving for is that process of making shooting, you know, making the move perfect. And that's where confidence comes from for me. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, going back to practicing, it's not how many rounds you've shot. It's the quality of shots you've taken, whether that be in practice or in a tournament. So, you know, I think that's been a big thing for me. And I really was interested to see what you thought of that because you've had to go through a transition recently as well. As more responsibilities come into your life. I mean, I know my answer to this, but I want to wait and hear what your answer is. Has your mindset changed any, you know, since things have become a little more complex, you know, moving away from home? We talked about how practice has changed, but, you know, your outlook on shooting and where you want to go, has your mindset changed any since living alone and not being, you know, not being able to, you know, having to attend class and all those type thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for asking that, Tom. And, you know, even though, as you said, my situation has definitely changed and changed a lot. My mindset, as far as that goes, no, not at all. You know, clay shooting is a sport that I'm very passionate about and one that I'm in love with very much. And like everyone that enjoys doing, you know, something you want to be good at, you want to be extremely committed to it and be able to do the best that you can do at it. I just want to keep focusing on being the very best version of myself, you know, as a clay target shooter and a competitor. And I know that if I continue along that path and keep doing the things that are necessary, and making some of the sacrifices that are demanded in order to get and stay at the level that I want to be at. And, you know, I'm sure, things will end up, you know, panning out for me in the right direction. So even though, you know, situations may change and certain obstacles may come your way and you might move to a new place or be under a different occupation or have a new job or be going through situations with your family, whatever it is with people, I don't think you should let outside factors outside of your, you know, quote unquote clay shooting bubble that you keep all the good things inside of penetrate in and affect that. You know, the mindset should always be the same. And the mindset is I'm going to continuously making every effort possible to be the best version of myself as a person and as a clay target shooter. And the mindset, I don't think can change at all. You can add to it, but I don't think, you know, you should have a different mindset because, you know, you're going to a different place. If you truly love the game as much as you should, if you're wanting to compete at a high level, you should stay committed to it no matter what the circumstances and the outside forces
are. Yeah, if you're a competitor, I mean, that's my answer. But if you're a competitor, if you're a true competitor, you can't want anything but to do your best and compete at the highest level no matter what you're going through. But, I mean, I try to put myself in the situation better each and every tournament I go to perform well and hopefully win. That's what makes good and healthy competition. But, you know, you hear a lot about how people prepare for tournaments and how they, you know, what type of practice they do or what, you know, routines they go through or anything like that. But I mean, what would you say at this stage is the best way for you to get ready for a tournament?
I think it is important to pay attention to, you know, the upcoming shoots that you're attending and you know, trying to prepare for them as much as possible. But, you know, it's like I tell people, this is a never ending journey. You know what I mean? It's not like we're ever going to get to a certain finish line. You could always be trying to, you know, reach new maximum heights and accomplishing everything you can along the way. You know, as far as getting ready for a tournament around the corner, something that I hear year in and year out, and it almost, you know, frustrates me to a certain extent, you know, it kind of makes me chuckle a little bit, but a lot of times the beginning of October, you know, rolls around and everyone in the clay shooting world starts hustling and bustling, you know, and as I said earlier, I find it a little silly because, you know, you hear everybody say like, yeah, man, you know, I'm in nationals mode now. I'm in nationals mode. We're getting ready, you know, and it's that time of year and, you know, I'm going to go out and practice now. And, you know, if you've waited till a couple weeks out, you know, to pony up and get to the grindstone, especially from a mind point or a mindset standpoint, you know, I'm sorry, my friend, but you know, you're a little late. And, I always tell people it's kind of like a student in school. As I've thought about this a lot, but it's almost like a student in school. And, you know, I like this analogy because, you know, I'm actually a college student right now. My beloved Texas A&M University, Giga Mags for all the Aggies listening out there. But, unfortunately, I've actually lived both sides of this and experienced both sides of this as a student in high school mainly, but even in college. But it's kind of like a student in class studying towards their major, you know, and they have an exam coming up for a particular class. And it's like, do you make efforts to study the material and learn about that particular subject and grow your knowledge in that field to where you can apply the things you've learned in the class? Or do you memorize the study material and regurgitate the information on the exam, you know, get past the exam, get your grade, then allow all that information to go right over your head. And, you know, you forget about it a couple weeks later, a couple months later. You know, a teacher of mine in high school told me one time, you know, there's a difference between memorizing and learning. And I think that that can be applied to the shooting world. It starts with your intentions and purpose within your practice, and just always continuously trying to improve and get better. Like I said earlier, it's a never-ending journey. So you can prepare for upcoming tournaments, but, you know, even though you're practicing, it doesn't mean, you know, I'm practicing this week and it's only for this coming tournament that I'm going to in 2 weeks. You know, that practice could benefit me down the road, because every shot you take, you can't untake that shot. So it's going to help you for every future tournament that you attend in your life. And in each tournament is another experience. And it's something that I really try to help people on, you know, especially for the people that are out there listening right now, that let's say you're an okay shooter, you know, you're a decent shot and you're trying really hard to become good and eventually great. You know, you got to quit complicating things for yourself by, you know, continuously looking for that next answer, that, you know, quote unquote secret nugget, you know, that you'll like finally get to it and you'll unlock it, you know, like the gold at the end of a rainbow, right? And all the answers will just jump, you know, out to you overnight. And next thing you know, you're just going to get HOA at every single tournament. You know, it's not like that. You got to stay committed. You got to focus on mastering the basics and improving the game that you've established for yourself, and you will get better over time. And, you know, just keep working at it. Keep doing everything you can. I said this on the first podcast I ever did with Justin back in, I think it was 2018. And I'm going to say it again. It's a simple, basic saying, pretty cliche, but, you know, you just got to trust the process. And if you have a true desire, every time you go out and practice, the whole purpose should be to just improve your game and be able to help yourself shoot at the highest level. Because if you can shoot at the highest level, you know, your capabilities and execute well at the tournament, things will shake out in your favor over time.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to just look at one tournament in particular and create my practice to get ready for that one tournament. I mean, I'm wanting to get better each and every day, and you know, that's just basically what you said there, is you can't limit yourself to one tournament and say I'm going to practice, try to figure out how to make myself perform the best for this tournament. It's got to be natural in every tournament. Every shot you take has to be in an effort to get better and better and better. Whether the Nationals is coming up next, U.S. Open, Regionals, the World, whatever's coming up next, you've got to work at becoming better as a shooter, not better for that tournament.
Absolutely. And, you know, when people tell me all the time, man, I'm shooting so good in practice, and I go to the tournament, and the targets were, you know, the same difficulty. You know, they weren't that much harder in practice than they are in the competition, but I'm shooting so much worse in the tournament. You know, I don't understand, you know, what's going wrong. You know, a lot of times people, you know, end up shooting the occasion. They're shooting the title of the tournament. They're thinking, oh, the U.S. Open, oh, the national championship. And it just takes them out of their game. You know, you can't prioritize one clay shoot over the other and think to yourself like, oh man, this is one shoot that I want really, really bad, and one shoot that I really want to perform well at, and the one that I'm going to shoot 2 months after that, that's not as big of a deal to me. I'm not as concerned about that. You have to enter every single sporting clays tournament with the same mindset, and that's, this is another shoot, which is just as important as the one I'm shooting next week, and it's just as important as the one I shot 2 weeks ago. And you need to focus on doing everything you can to break every single target and keep things as simplified as possible. You know, don't shoot the title for the title of the tournament or allow the name of the shoot to get in the way of your capabilities, you know, your ability to point the gun. You just got to focus on every tournament, and whether it's a local shoot, whether it's a fundraiser tournament, or whether it's the World FITAS Championship, every single shoot is important, and you should go out and do everything you can to break every single.
Yeah, I've done that before. I've gone out and thought, man, I really want to win this tournament. You know, this is something I'm for. This is for one particular reason or another. I really want this one, and it brings on a whole another level of complications when you change your mindset away from, as you say, trusting the process. Well, I kind of want to move on. I know that the 23 season's coming up. There's a lot of, everybody's probably getting signed up for some of the tournaments, and we won't talk about it a lot, but, you know, I plan to go to a lot of tournaments this year. I'm excited excited for the year. I know you're going to, you're going to be out there as well. Have you thought about going to the Dubai shoot?
I have. I'm actually signed up and planning on heading over there in a couple of weeks. You know, I'm super excited to attend that tournament, the Fujairah Mountain Shooting Championship. You know, I've never competed in that part of the world. I've never visited to the, that part of the world. And it's something that I'm very excited about because there's always such a thrill. And there's something to look forward to when you go into something having never experienced it before. You know, there's a lot of great venues here in the United States, but as you guys know, a lot of the places hold the same shoots. And it's always great to return back to these great places and shoot tournaments there after you've already been. But it's always exciting going to a place for the first time. And I look back on some of my favorite experiences in clay shooting. It was always the first time I went to a particular place. And I'm super excited to head over there. It's going to be a completely different type of culture, different atmosphere. But, you know, I got to make sure to not get caught up in the buzz and the excitement of being in a new place and focus on going over there to compete and focus on doing what I know how to do. And you know, that's break clay targets. So I'm just going to, you know, keep the crosshairs set on that, but I'm really excited and really looking forward to going over there and shooting and experiencing that awesome place. But what about you? Where are you thinking about going?
I'm actually not going. I've heard a lot about it. I know that it's going to be an awesome tournament. I'm going to go, like I said, I'm going to go to a lot of tournaments this year, but that won't be one of them. I love going overseas and shooting. It is a different experience anywhere you go. I've never been to Dubai. I did not go to the ones, you know, the tournaments that were previously held in Dubai. This one is different, I know, but I've never been over there. But I've been overseas a lot to shoot at different tournaments. I love going over there. It's definitely a different atmosphere and different culture than being here. That's some of my most favorite tournaments over there, just because it's so different.
But and you get a chance to represent the greatest country in the world, so that's always an honor too.
That's right. Yeah, that is for sure. But you know, I'm gonna go to a lot here, and so I had to kind of pick and choose a few of them. Unfortunately, I can't go to all of them, but
it's tough.
All right, guys, well, that's about all I had for Joe. And you know, I've been on this podcast several times as a guest, interviewed by Justin, and he and I got together and thought we would try this and see how it goes. And I've really enjoyed kind of being on the other side of things and being able to talk to Joe a little bit, and hopefully we'll do some more and ask some different questions and to some different people, and we'll see how it goes. But Joe, I really appreciated having you on. I thought it was really interesting and it was a lot of fun.
Tom, I really appreciate it, man. And thank you so much for reaching out and giving me an opportunity to come on. Anytime I get a chance, you know, I'm always going to be excited to share some of the things that I know and hopefully it gets to some people and helps them become better. That's the whole purpose of this. And hopefully it helps our sport grow even more. So, you know, it's an honor to come on. Thank you to Justin for, you know, letting us do this. And I'm super excited to get out and shoot in this 2023 season, because it's going to be an awesome year. Looking forward to seeing everyone's faces and getting out and competing.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you next time. I'll definitely see you out there on the course this year. We'll run each other quite a bit.
Thanks, Tom. Best of luck to you.